Motivated seller mastery is actually a pillar within the mastermind that I have. It's actually pillar number 5. So when a lot of you guys ask me like, John, where should I be marketing? What should I be marketing to? This is pillar number 5, right? That means there's 4 things to do before you get to this pillar. And that's the problem. A lot of you start here and you don't know how to answer this question, which is why you ask somebody else, because you haven't done the first 4 pillars, right? So the first thing I want to cover in this training is when you are marketing to sellers, what you got to understand is that it's not about you. It's 100% about who it is that you can help best. And in order to determine this is step number 2, which is what market are you in? So here's what I mean by it's not about you. A lot of people struggle with marketing because you make it about yourself. I don't want to do foreclosure marketing. I don't want to do probates. I don't want to do cold calling. I don't want to do direct mail. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And then you wonder why you struggle to generate deals. That's why you're struggling to generate deals, because you have so many requirements to what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do that you're not willing to do what you need to do to generate deals. And why step number 2 is where the market is because you have to market to where the market is, not to what you like. I don't care what you like. Nobody cares what you like. You understand? Especially when you're starting off. Everybody starts off and they're saying, John, I want to focus on this one little niche or this one thing, and I want to do it this way and this way and this way. And I'm like, got it, but you've never done this before. So how about we focus on what works first, make some money, and once you do that, then we can start maneuvering it to fit what it is that you want to do and what it is that you like to do. So I hope this is making sense, because this is the primary reason to why it is that you're struggling so damn much. It's because you do not understand what the market needs and you're too focused on what it is that you want to do. You understand? So number 2, where's the market? What do we look at when we talk about where's the market? What's months of inventory? What are the hottest price points? These are important data points. Are you marketing to the wrong side of the city? Right? Like, I have a student right now that he told me, he's like, hey, I got a lead in, but it's in an area that's like, I really don't want it. And my first question was, why are you marketing in that area? If you got to track, you know, where the deals are being done. And where the deals are being done is where you want to be marketing, because that's where you're going to be able to sell the deals that you generate. Now, why is it different what I'm teaching you than just giving you a list? Is because if you never understand who it is that is motivated and who it is that you need to be going after, you're always going to be searching for somebody to tell you what list to market next. There's some gurus out there on social media. One of them I saw, he says, I have 19 ways to market for motivated sellers. I'm like, what? 19 ways? Are you kidding me? And it's, you know, I saw what it was, and it's not 19 ways. He just breaks down every single strategy into like 4 different ones. But it's obnoxious. Who the hell can build a business that way and scale a business that way? You need a massive team. You need a lot of systems, a lot of things in place to be able to maneuver that. And it becomes, for somebody like yourself, it becomes extremely overwhelming to look at 19 different ways to market. Which way do you start? What's going to get you the most results? And these steps that I'm giving you here is exactly what's going to give you the results you're looking for, because you're going to start with the highest motivation. And you're going to understand what is the highest motivation in this market. So as I was putting the pillar together, I gave a few sample lists to the group, and I was showing them. I was like, but this is where the list came from. Because just because these are the lists I'm targeting now doesn't mean these are the lists I'm going to be targeting 6 months from now or 12 months from now. If there's any shift in the market, I need to shift my marketing. Just because a list worked before doesn't mean it's going to work again. And this is where a lot of you struggle again, is you had a list that was working, it stopped working. What do? You double down on marketing. You spend more money, you put more effort behind the list. And you never stop to question, like, did this list run its course? So step number 1, again, it's not about you. Step number 2, you got to know your market. Months of inventory and the hottest price points. So if we understand that we're in a hot, hot market and these are the hot price points, it's going to help you narrow down which areas of town have those hot price points and have the most inventory that's moving. Because those are the areas of town you want to be focusing. You can't just blanket the whole city. One, it's not sustainable for marketing. And two, you're not going to generate deals. It could be at the right price point, but if it's in the wrong side of town, it's not going to matter. Nobody's going to buy it because nobody wants it in that side of town. So step number three is, what are your buyers buying now? So what are your buyers buying now? Not what do they want. This is a big difference right here, right? It's not what your buyers want, it's what are they willing to buy today, right now? Because you can talk to your buyers and your buyers are telling you, hey, I want, you know, 70% minus repairs, or I want to make 50 grand. And it's like, I get it. But if you haven't bought a deal in 4 or 5 months, maybe that those requirements go out the window. And instead of wanting to make 50 grand profit, you're willing to make 20, 25 grand profit because you haven't done a deal in a while. And you need to build up your pipeline. So what are you buying right now? What are you willing to take on right now? What areas of town? What level of renovation? You got to build that buyer's list. When you build that buyer's list and you ask all these questions, you're able to determine, like, what is a buyer really looking for? Because those are the properties you got to be going after. So same thing. People say, you know, John, I want to focus on owner finance deals. Have good owner finance deals? Some markets don't. I have students in markets that's like, you shouldn't be focusing on that. Could you get an owner finance deal? Maybe, but you don't build a business off of maybes. You build a business off of building lists that are consistent, that you can depend on. And in those markets, owner finance is not a consistent marketing trend. In San Antonio, it is, but it depends on the area of town that you're in. It depends on the price point that you're in. And who determines all this? The buyers that are going to be buying those houses. So step number three is knowing your buyers, knowing what your buyers want, knowing what they're willing to buy at this moment, not just what they want, you know, all around, just what are they willing to buy at this moment? Step number four is, what is motivation? What is the motivation that these sellers are going to have? High equity is not a motivator. Absentee is not a motivator. A vacant house is not a motivator. You take a high equity list, right? And you think, I'm going to go all in on this high equity list. Could be thousands of properties. There's no motivation just because they have high equity. So what happens is you end up spending a ton of time, money, and effort chasing a list where there's no motivation. Could there be motivation? Maybe, but you can't put the amount of effort and time going after the deals that will have good motivations. So when you're putting a list together, what are the motivators? Our base for the list that we're using right now starts with absentees. Why does it start with absentees? Because January 2022, taxes in Texas went way up. Insurance premiums went way up. Cash flow, rent, they didn't go way up. They take 2 to 3 years to catch up to higher prices. So you have high taxes, high prices, high insurance costs, low cash flow, right? So what does this tell me? One, my buy and hold investors, out the window. I was not bringing them any more deals because they were not willing to pay more than what my fix and flip investors were willing to pay because they needed to have more equity in the deal just so they can cash flow. So I stopped selling to my buy and hold investors unless they were willing to leave money in the deal. Secondly, was my sellers. I stopped marketing to owner-occupied homes because the conversation with the sellers went like this. Yeah, John, I would love to sell, but where do I go? Like, shit, that's an excellent question. I don't know where you're going to go. I don't know what you can do. Because, yeah, I mean, you have this equity. You captured 50, 60 grand, but you couldn't even afford your house back because you can't afford the new mortgage. You can't afford the new higher interest rates. So you have all these things going on, and it's like, yeah, you can't afford that. So that's not going to help you, right? So we stopped going after owner-occupied homes. Now, what owner-occupied homes could I go after if I really wanted to? The highly motivated one. What's a highly motivated owner-occupied home? Foreclosures. Somebody that's in foreclosure has to make a decision. They're going to catch up the payments and reinstate the loan. They're going to sell the house and capture their equity, or they're going to lose their house to foreclosures, to the foreclosure. Not many options there, right? If they can reinstate the loan, great. Go for it, reinstate it, save your home. But if you can't do that, you're either going to sell or you're going to lose the house. Now there's motivation. Now there's a real need. You either sell or you lose it. So those were my owner-occupied. Other than that, I had to go after properties that were not owner-occupied. Because that concern that they had was, where do I go? Well, somebody that doesn't live in the house doesn't have that concern. Now it's more about like, well, yeah, I have this property. I don't care if I sell it or not, you know, because I don't live there. What can I do with the profit, right? What can I do with that capital? But that's not enough. That's our base, is absentees. And then we start stacking absentee with other possible motivators. So good motivators are going to be pre-probates. So it's absentee and somebody that owns that property passed away. Now there's some motivator there because that property is going to go to the heirs. It's going to go to somebody that probably doesn't even want to deal with the property. Tax delinquents. So absentee plus tax delinquent. Absentee plus code violations. And not in San Antonio, you can pull the code violation from the county for free every single month. So I wouldn't do just code violation now. I would even stack that list. How many properties have been on the code violations list for 2, 3, 4+ months? And they're also absentee. Now I'm adding multiple motivators to this list. And it's taking a list from in San Antonio, absentee, you're talking about a couple hundred thousand properties to, you know, a couple tens of thousands of properties. And then we're going to shrink that down even further based on my buyer's criteria. What is the square footages that my buyers want? What are the size of the house? What is the year built? The price ranges they want to stick with? Like all these things are criteria that we go narrowing our list down further and further. What I like to do is target around, probably around like 2,000 property lists has been good for us. And that's kind of where we like to niche down. Foreclosures, obviously, you're going to get a much smaller list than that. But that's pretty much what you want to look at is what are the other motivators that you can do. Now, don't overstack a list where you're like, John, I got a solid 30 properties. That's not enough. You still need more at-bats. You understand? So don't go too narrow because then it's way too much. You know, it's way too small and you're not going to get enough at-bats to be able to convert them. So even if you do a very niche list, I still target a couple hundred houses. And that's kind of what we look at when we're doing these things. But yeah, you want to look at different levels of motivation, different motivators, stack them together. We used to be able to go after this list in Texas or in San Antonio and they banned it, which is the water shut off. It's another great list to go after. I mean, if somebody shut off their water, either by choice or it was forced, they couldn't afford it. Both of them are motivators. I mean, if you look at it and somebody shut off the water because they're not going to be in the house for quite a bit of time, there could be some potential motivation there. Like, you know, why are you not keeping the water on? Well, I'm not going to be there for months or whatever because it's a vacant house. Well, vacant houses, you know, they create some issues. So now you're stacking vacant with water shut off. So this is the mindset that you got to have is what else can cause a motivation in these sellers to need to sell and not just want to sell. Because that's where the margins are made. You keep making $5,000, $7,000 wholesale deals because you don't have enough motivation for these people to want to take a much lower price. You understand? Because you don't know what they need. You're just going for people that want to sell. They don't need to sell. We don't even go after those deals. We go after the ones that need to sell. That's why our average wholesale fees are more like $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 because we don't chase the little deals. We stack these motivators. Now, a big disclaimer I do want to put in here. If you're new to real estate, I would target more the 2,000 properties rather than the couple hundred properties. The reason for this is because if you're new to real estate, you probably are not very good on the phone. And I don't care how amazing of a salesperson you've been your whole life, being good on the phone with a seller is a completely different topic. You got to understand how to ask deeper questions, how to determine real motivation. A lot of you guys, within 2 minutes of the call, you're already talking about the house. The house doesn't matter. If you don't figure out what is the real need these sellers have, you're talking about something that's completely irrelevant. Because then you're talking about price and you're talking about the highest price possible, but you're not solving a problem. And as real estate investors, we're here to solve problems. So you can't, if all you're doing is talking about the house may not always be the problem. It might be something else, but the house could be the solution to their problem, right? Selling that house and selling it fast and selling it to you with no hassle, with no having to show this house to, you know, multiple investors. You are able to do this with one person. They just give it to you. You buy it. Hey, you have a bunch of crap in here. Don't worry about it. Leave it in there. We'll get rid of it. Take what you want. Leave the rest in there. You need a lease back. I can structure a lease back for you. That means that you can sell the house, stay in it for another 2 weeks while you get all your stuff together and move out. You understand? Like, there's so many things that you can do, and you got to show them that value, but you can't show them that value if you don't know that that's what they need. And a lot of you guys, you start off the negotiation throwing those cards out. And those are your aces, right? And you're giving them all out at the beginning without understanding, will that move the needle for them? Because you don't know how to speak to a seller. So I recommend start with a list of at least 2,000 properties, still within the areas that you want to do these deals, but go after that list. And you're going to be able to build the skill sets much faster that you need to speak to sellers. Now, this takes me to step number 5, which is how to market to them. My preferred method of marketing is cold calling. It's very direct. You can screw up the call and try back in a few weeks, and they're not going to really remember it was you. So it gives you a lot of at-bats. It gives you a lot of chances to figure out what's the real motivation. Did I do this right? Did I ask the right questions? I didn't. Let me call back. You know, you know exactly who you're calling. You know exactly who you're speaking to. What property is it related to? You know all these things. And it's very inexpensive to do, right? I mean, it's by far the most affordable type of marketing, and it's extremely effective. I mean, all of our deals come from cold calling. And we generate over 70 grand a month just doing that. You understand? Our marketing cost is so small because of that. I'm talking about a couple $100 a month is what we spend on marketing. It doesn't cost that much to make that much money. You understand? Now, the next route that you can do is direct mail. Direct mail is more expensive because you got to do it the right way. And you got to experiment a lot with direct mail because, unlike cold calling, you can call, see if the script kind of worked or it didn't. You fucked it. You messed it up. Try not to curse. You messed it up a little bit. So, you know, you have to test that out. But with direct mail, let's say you did a batch of 2,000 postcards to 2,000 properties. It's not enough to know whether that worked or not. And you're hoping that they get it, that the message landed, and that they pick up the phone and called you, right? So that, to me, is when you're needing a deal, it's not the best way to go about it, because you got to build that up, you know? And I'm not saying direct mail doesn't work. All I'm saying is, like, that's not what I would start with if I'm needing a deal right now. And again, I've had students that they're like, but John, I don't like cold calling. Remember step number 1, I don't care. It's not about what you like or don't like. It's about what works. You understand? You can't do it. You can't, especially when you're starting off, it's not about what you like or don't like. It's about what works. Once you build a good, strong business, you have a good base, now you can experiment with the things you like. And when you have enough direct mail going out, you're doing it consistently enough, you figured out what message works, what versions, you have the money saved up, you have all that. Okay, now go ahead and start doing direct mail, do something else. Pull back from cold calling as much. Maybe you just don't like it. Your marketing expense will go up, but the profit's still going to be there, right? So you can start experimenting with this. But to start off right off the bat with it, I think it's hard. I think it's a very hard way to get deals done. It's a very difficult way, especially if you don't have the skills over the phone. Somebody calls you and you don't know how to ask the right questions, how to connect with these people, how to, you know, do all this. You're just not going to go anywhere. It's not going to go anywhere. You're going to tell me what other people have told me. They're like, yeah, John, I've been doing direct mail for so long and there aren't any deals. Like, are sellers calling you? Yeah. Well, that's showing that direct mail works. You just don't know how to close them, because it's that if somebody has a way to call you, there's some motivation there. You just don't know how to tap into it. And you don't have the systems. which all of this is what we teach in the mastermind, right? In the mastermind, I teach you how to implement the systems that keep generating deals. It's not how to get your first deal, your next deal. It's how to get the next 100 deals, how to build the systems in the process that's going to let you to allow you to automate and take a step back. Most of my students, they work 2, 3, maybe 4 hours a day in their system. And they're generating $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a month. You understand? Like, it doesn't have to be hard if you implement the right systems. But that's the thing. In real estate, nobody teaches you about systems. Everybody just says, market to this list and send direct mail and then hope for the best. And you do that to a certain extent until you realize, like, John, I'm exhausted. I'm burned out. You know, I get a deal, make some money, then I got to go hunting again. I get a deal, I make some money, then I got to go hunting again. It's too many highs and lows. And I'm like, well, yeah, you don't have a process. You have no system. It's always changing. You don't even know what list to market to. You understand? You need to build the list. You need to understand why these lists matter and why they don't. And then you, another thing that we teach is KPIs. How do you know the list is performing? We got to track the whole process. Because you say, you know, I'm making money. Are you though? How much money are you spending to how much money are you making? I'm telling you, I'm spending a couple $100 a month, probably, I think it was like $378 a month on marketing, and we generate over $70,000 a month from that marketing. You understand? Like, now if my expense starts going up and up and up and my profit stays the same and starts going down, I need to look at that. I need to see what the hell is going on. But most people don't track their marketing. They don't understand when the shifts are being made. So I hope this training has helped you. I hope it gives you an idea. Again, I'm not going to give you what list to market to because that doesn't help you. What helps you is for you to understand how to put a list together. When you understand how to put a list together, then you can be better at marketing because then you can always stay ahead of the curve instead of following whatever, you know, some person on Instagram is telling you what to do. You understand? Because when they're telling you what to do, it's already too late. You need to move on to the next one. So I hope this training helps. And now we get into the Q&A section of this in the Facebook group. So if you're not watching in the live Facebook group, make sure to join. It's the Prime Wholesaling Method. And if you are interested, you can book a call with me to see if the mastermind is a good fit with you. So with that being said, let's get into the Q&As. What questions do you guys have about building a list, about anything like that? What's keeping you stuck? Any questions that you have on real estate and all the good stuff. I have a deal for you in St. Louis. Okay. I have a team right now in St. Louis, so I'll make sure to for you guys to, you know, get connected, Stephanie, so we can work on that. And I know I have some students in St. Louis as well. So if you guys are live, you should be trying to reach out to Stephanie. But what else you guys got? No questions? Everything made sense? Let's see. Copy link. Gonna put this and put the link in the chat. You guys feel free to click on that link, see if that works for you to hop on as a guest. We're gonna get to try that out. What is the URL code for code violation list in San Antonio? Dura, send me a messenger link. That way I can send you the link because I have it copied, but it's just a massive link. Where can you find monthly inventory and price points from an agent? So, I mean, Marcus, the truth is most agents don't know what the hell they're doing. So they're probably not going to know how to pull that information anyway. So not necessarily a best route that you can do, but what I use. So here's the thing, months of inventory, you can find easily. You just search, you know, months of inventory for your county, for Bexar County or whatever county you're in. And it's going to give you a few areas to find. The repeat like to typically go is Texas A&M Real Estate Center. They have a ton of information there as well on how to do that. And how to pull that, the inventory list and all that. I also have some videos of resources that we use. It's in our YouTube channel on where to find market data, how to pull it. So there's a YouTube video on there. I think it's like 40 minutes long or something that I did along with. And we went over. Let's see. I wanted to start cold calling today. Where would be the best service to get data? So again, it depends on the list. So where to pull your lists, you know, like your absentees and stuff like that. I pull them from absentee. I like to pull from Deal Machine and then start stacking the list there. But if you don't have a buyer's list, it's kind of not going to go very far for you, man, because you're just not going to know how to really filter the list down so it's beneficial. But Deal Machine is a good place. Your county data is where we get a lot of the more like foreclosure, probate information. We get it from county websites. So you got to know how to filter those. Blake is joining. Okay.
Hey. How about now? I saw you had two people didn't work with. Figured I'd try to hop on, see if your system's working this time.
Yeah, brother. Can you hear me fine?
Yes. It wasn't. Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Very nice. Thank you for hopping on. So what questions you got, man?
For me, I've really never started cold calling much, and I'm just trying to figure out where to put from. All the deals have came to me organically, and I'm just trying to increase my deal flow. Where would you say is best to pull data from, PropStream, or where do you pull it from personally?
No, I don't like PropStream. PropStream is, their data is usually very, very delayed. Mm-hmm. It's very, you know, it's just not good data. So what I typically like to do with where to pull my data from is Deal Machine is by far the best source. And with Deal Machine, again, it goes back to where it is that your buyers are buying from. So depending on where your buyers are buying from, that's where you want to start filtering and narrowing the list down. So for me, let's say I'm a buyer of most of my deals. So I like houses that are between 1,000 and 2,500 square feet, built 1978 to 2010, under 350 ARV. So I have a very niche criteria that I like to deal with. And when you plug those in, it's going to keep you on a certain area of town. And what you want to do is you want to focus on those zip codes specifically when you're pulling that data. So for you, you're in St. Louis, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So in St. Louis, I will look for St. Louis County or Jefferson County, depending on where you're seeing. What's that?
St. Charles County is the hot county right now.
Yeah, or St. Charles, you know, and you check the county. I recommend is don't do everything. Don't do St. Louis, Jefferson, St. Charles, because then you split your attention way too much. It's better to focus and be really, really good at one county first. Then you can expand later. But when you're starting off, you want to be really good at one county first.
Okay, that makes sense.
But yeah, you need your buyers. You want to filter that down. And then depending on what comes up with, like I said, when you're starting off, especially with cold calling, one of the services I use for this is ReSimply is a CRM. And the reason I use ReSimply is it allows you to buy multiple phone numbers. And now they have like a dialer within ReSimply. And it's a great place to manage your leads because you can also, once you make contact with somebody, like I'll speak to people that like, no, I'm not interested right now. Cool. I put you in an automated drip sequence. And you get a text message every 25 to 40 days. And right now, my acquisition manager is working on four properties that have come from our drip sequences, with one of them being, it's been in our CRM for over 1,000 days, you know? But I haven't done shit with it for over 1,000 days. It's just been this automated drip sequence that they just get, you know? And now they're reaching out.
That makes sense. CRM was another question I had. You mentioned that before. I can remember the name of it.
Yeah, ReSimply. Just hit me up later in the DMs and I'll send you, I have a discount link that I think gives you like 50% off your first month and everything. So at least you can save some money there. But when you're building, what I recommend again is don't go too niche on your list because you need to build that skill. And man, I've spoken to people that they're like, no, John, you don't understand. I'm really good on the phone. And I'm like, but I get it, but there's ways to ask deeper questions, and most people aren't good at that, you know, like especially with absentees and stuff. Like you got to know how to ask deeper questions, how to really connect to these people, how to really, you know, ask good probing questions that is going to show you how motivated and how ready they are to sell,
which would make sense. I did 3 years of door-to-door sales, so I've got a little bit of skill set there, but I agree with what you're saying.
All right, sounds good, man. Well, I hope it helps. And like always, always reach out, you know. I know you were talking, we've talked about before. So whenever you're ready, you know, you can hop onto the mastermind where I have all the training there where I show you how to exactly pull the lists, how to set up the CRM and all that shit. Because it's a lot, you know, managing the drip sequences and setting up the phone numbers. I mean, you can always figure it out, right? Like, it's just spend the time, watch the videos. There's a lot of training on these platforms. You know, it's just different ways of looking at it.
Trust me, I'd love to throw some money your way just to save myself time and make more money sooner.
Yeah, for sure, brother. Appreciate you. Thanks for trying this out with me. It really helps. It got a little clunky, but we're figuring it out. So appreciate it, brother.
Sounds good. I'll give you some feedback on it in the DMs too.
All right. Sounds good, man. Thank you. All right. Let's see. How do I get rid of this? Cool. So let's see. What other questions you guys have? Marcus. Yeah, Marcus, same thing. Like I have more direct ways for you to pull your list depending on what city and state you're in, but it's just going to depend. Like I do those training in the mastermind just because it's you and me. Let's open up the computer. Let's start searching your county. Let's start searching your area. I show you how to use a combination of Redfin, Zillow, depending on where you are. You know, like San Antonio is a non-disclosure state, so you don't get sold data there. So you got to know how to mess around with it, as well as being able to partner with other real estate agents that are willing to, at the very least, give you assistant access so you can pull the data yourself, or you can show them exactly what data points you need pulled, right? But again, a lot of this stuff, and I go into it into detail in the trainings, but it's hard to go into detail on this because it's going to put a lot of people to sleep. So it's pulling the data is pillar number one that I teach, and it's the one that a lot of people bypass just because they don't like doing that work. You know, so it's a different way of looking at it, but it's definitely going to help you. So any other questions? Anything else that I might have missed? Okay. All right. Awesome. Well, it seems like, you know, we tried this out. We kind of had a guest. That was pretty cool. At least one guest worked. I'll keep working on it and getting it, try to refine it, get it better. I'll put another poll out to see what it is that you guys want to talk about. If there's a topic you want me to hit on, just put it on the Facebook group. Let me know. I can go into details on whatever subject that you want me to go into details on. You know, I can break it down further. We can go into something specifically. Just let me know. All the recordings are going to be up in the group and also on my YouTube channel like in a week or so. So you can always check out. And I have a ton of training in the YouTube channel for those of you that want to check that out. And actually, let's do that now. So I'm putting this in the chat. This is where you can book the strategy call just to see if the mastermind is a good fit for you. If you're honestly, the only thing I look for within the mastermind is purpose-driven investors. This means that you're serious about this. If you're serious about this, you want to implement the systems, you're not playing around, that's what the mastermind is for. Because I teach you real techniques, real actions, real things. Like 2 calls a week that we go over, plenty of training, experts come on. I mean, there's a ton of stuff in there. And I'm willing to put the time and invest the time in you if you're willing to invest the time in yourself. So if you guys feel that that's a good fit for you, book a call with me. We'll hop on the phone and we'll really narrow down if this is a good fit. All right. So with that said, wrap up this call. So thank you all for attending. Thank you for having patience with me. And I'll catch you all in the next training.